Good morning, my happy little ramblers, and welcome once more to Rhys Rambles. This is the official podcast of the Control-Alt-Rhys YouTube channel. And I've noticed when I put these out, looking at the analytics, I actually tend to lose subscribers on pretty much every single one. And I think I know why that is. And it's because there isn't really any kind of proper separation between the podcast content on this channel and the actual video content. Because I've started to do some more video content on here, and I'm starting to promote it a bit more widely. And I think the people who are watching those videos are being recommended these rambles, and they're kind of watching the first few minutes of them and thinking, what on earth is this? Absolute rubbish. But unfortunately, YouTube doesn't differentiate between the podcast people and the video people. I appreciate it's a very specific audience, people who want to know what's going on in my life and behind the scenes stuff and that kind of thing. And I cover such a wide range of topics. I think some people just like to have it on in the background as background noise, which is absolutely fine. That's exactly what I do with podcasts as well. The time I'm not even listening. In fact, my wife Catherine quite often says, you've already listened to this one. Obviously, I'm not talking about listening to my own podcast, I'm talking about listening to some of the other stuff that I listen to. She'll be like, oh, you've already listened to this one, I've already heard this. And I'm like, have I? I just had it on in the background, you know, and I end up listening to the same podcast episodes for like 3 or 4 times just to take it all in. But there you go, that's that. I did put out a video on this channel a while ago just explaining what Rhys Rambles was, and I really don't want to have to split it out into a third channel. It's going to end up being far too much to manage, and I'm going to be spreading myself far too thinly. So, I'll just make sure that everything I do is very clearly marked. And if you want to avoid these, then by all means, you can avoid those. And I've also started putting bonus content, because I use a very similar thumbnail style and stuff on the second channel videos. Started putting a little bonus content marker on those as well, just to kind of let my regulars know that they're a bit more unstructured and a bit more sort of rambly and whatnot. But anyway, I shall persevere, because the general trajectory of this channel is upwards, which is fantastic. No sort of plans of world domination or anything like that with the second channel. But it's nice. It's nice to have kind of a second creative outlet, and just if I've got something I just want to quickly film and talk about and cobble a video together in a couple of hours, then it's great to have a platform to do that and not kind of disrupt what I'm trying to do with the main channel. What am I trying to do with the main channel? I don't know. Make good quality stuff, I guess, is the general consensus. Anyway, I'm here. It's another weekend. I've got my lovely pink T-shirt on. I'm not sure if I've worn this on camera yet. So it's kind of a newer one for me. And there you go. And of course, 40 years old, as mentioned. And I also mentioned that I wouldn't talk about that again. Although I did enjoy all the comments from those of you in your 50s and perhaps a bit older, saying, 40 is nothing. Yeah, don't worry about it. Which is absolutely true. Absolutely what I was expecting and hoping for. So thank you. And just before we get into the main topic, so the main topic of this one is I'm going to review London. So back in September last year, this was before I was doing video, although I think I had photos at least in this one. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it was just the same photo all the way through. Which was this is the view from our window in a hotel in San Francisco. And for the benefit of the audio listeners, it's Greta Thunberg, the well-known Scandinavian climate campaigner lady, big mural of her. Every time we opened our curtains, we had her staring back at us very intently, maybe judging us for the 7-hour flight that we took to get there. But anyway, off the back of this, I did kind of a half joking big two-part review of America. Of course, we only went to San Francisco, down to LA, and then across to Las Vegas. Is that my? I came here, I arrived here this morning, I should mention this, I'll go off on another tangent like I always do. Two of the sound deadening panels on the ceiling had fallen down, including the one that fell down last week, and that one is directly above my head, and I think I just heard it creak. So you never know, if you watch this, you might see a big chunk of foam fall on my head. I know I keep promising that every week. But yeah, so anyway, off the back of that trip, of course, we only went to the 3 places, really. We went to, various places in between, but I did this kind of tongue-in-cheek review of literally everything that we did in America and called it I called it Rhys Reviews America, all of it. And it was so big, it ended up being a two-parter. So I thought, well, I've spent 4 days in London, and I do have a lot of international listeners, and I can't claim to be an expert on all things London, but I do tend to spend a reasonable amount of time there. We do go down, a few times a year, and just have a, a nice weekend living it up and whatnot. Because we live in a very rural area, and yeah, the whole concept of being able to just jump on a tube or into a cab or whatever and, you know, drive 5-10 minutes and go to whatever bar or shop or whatever you want. We don't have that where we live. All we have is the village pub, and then basically you have to drive anywhere else. No Uber drivers around here in our area, and if you want a taxi, you have to generally book it about a week in advance. And we've actually found that they can be quite unreliable. So yeah, and there are people, who, of course, who live in far more rural areas than we do, but always fun to go down to London. So yes, I'm going to be talking about all the stuff that we did in London and showing you some photos and making some recommendations if you're hoping to pop down there yourself. But also, I had a video that was released in the past week, and of course I always talk about those in these rambles. And that was one that I very hastily put out just in the couple of days before we left, because I found this old Game Boy camera that I bought. I bought it years ago to make a video, and I got this USB adapter thing. I don't know if I've got it to hand. I haven't. The submodule GB01, which unfortunately I found out actually when I went to record it, has been discontinued. But that's fine. So I thought, you know what, let's just quickly film this. Because a previous owner had taken a load of very interesting photos with that camera, and they were still on there. And I want to wipe it because I want to do like a video on the Game Boy camera and get hold of the printer and stuff. So, I thought I would document that finally. And, it would put me in a position to be able to make a new start with that new piece of hardware. Yeah, 775 views in, how long has it been up? 48 hours? Never know how to read these stats. But, look at that. Some pretty decent retention on that one. 68% of viewers still watching around the 30-second mark. And then it's reasonably flat. There's always that kind of descent as you go along. And 14 new subscribers, which is why it doesn't bother me too much when I end up losing a couple off the back of each ramble. And an estimated revenue of £1.58, which of course for us as pro full-time YouTubers is that's the figure that matters. So £1.58. I mean, that wouldn't even buy you a pint in London, would it? But there you go. It's not bad off the back of 775 views. I think I accidentally enabled the mid-roll ads on this one because YouTube's a bit sneaky and kind of tries to trick you into enabling them. And I think after like the first half an hour, I kind of went in and checked and was like, oh no, it's showing people, you know, like 5 or 6 ads in a 14-minute video. So I actually turned those off. So apologies if you're one of those people. Was not deliberate on my part, but as discussed previously, of course, I do enable the pre-roll and post-roll ads because it means that YouTube actually promotes the video to people. Can have a look at the reach here. 10,500 people. That's quite a healthy reach for a channel of this size. Anyway, that's enough about the Game Boy video. Let's get on and talk about the London stuff. So onwards with my review of the whole of London. And of course, the first place to start, the most logical place to start, I think, will be the hotel that we stayed in this time. Now, this wasn't the first time that we'd actually stayed in this hotel. We stayed there in July last year for my friend Sam's wedding, if you remember the ever-blackmailable Sam from last week's episode, to his lovely wife, Rachel. Of course, she wasn't his wife before the wedding, but now she is, if that makes sense. When we actually booked the hotel at the time last year, it was actually the Hard Rock Hotel, if you know the Hard Rock brand, of course, the Hard Rock cafes and whatnot. And they have a chain of hotels across the world. And they're actually like a licensed thing. They kind of pay for the Hard Rock branding and stuff. And this hotel in London, the Cumberland, as it used to be, had been the Hard Rock Hotel for a few years. And for some reason, evidently, between us booking it and us actually arriving, they decided to remove all of the Hard Rock branding and give us a bit of a refund and whatever else. And we weren't really sure what to expect back when we stayed there last summer. We kind of thought, oh, is it just going to be kind of a bit of a boring, normal hotel? And actually, it's still a very cool place, and it's still a very cool place now. Just looking at a picture of the reception here, which I took last year. They've got these illuminated drumsticks hanging over the check-in desk, and you've got these guitar barricades and things, and you can see like the artwork and stuff in the background. They've got like these glass. I think they were the glass display cases. If you've ever been to a Hard Rock cafe, they have like rock memorabilia and like famous people's guitars that they've actually used on stage and stuff like that. And yeah, they've still got all of that kind of stuff. Got display cases and for those and. Filled them with bits of pop art and cool music-related stuff. They've got a live stage where they have bands on every night in the main reception area. They've got the backstage area, which is kind of my favourite bit. If you have one of the sort of slightly higher end rooms, you get access to this backstage area, which is a bit quieter, and they've got like unlimited free drinks and food in there. And yes, that does include alcoholic drinks. You pour your own JD and Coke and that kind of stuff, which is cool. And yeah, you can borrow one of these little Crosley record player things and take it up to your room and listen to some records. I'm sure the audio files in the audience have all switched off now, but you can also hire guitars, which is quite interesting, which I guess is another kind of holdover from their hard rock days. And here's Sam. This was actually one in the VIP area, but here's Sam playing a Fender Jaguar. We're trying to work out what all the switches were doing. I think this was actually the morning of the wedding as well. He didn't dress like that for the wedding, by the way. But the Cumberland Hotel, really nicely located. It's at the end of Oxford Street, right by Marble Arch, just on the corner of Hyde Park. You can actually walk out the front door and across the road, and you're actually in Hyde Park, which is really nice. And it's kind of located close to Oxford Street, like I said, and Mayfair, and so quite nice areas of London. And it's literally on the same corner as the Marble Arch tube stop. So you can just hop on the tube and go anywhere you like, which is really cool. And about 5 minutes down the road from Bond Street tube station as well, which has an Elizabeth Line stop, which we did actually use to go to Canary Wharf, which I will be talking about a little bit later on in this ramble. So yeah, great hotel, Cumberland Hotel. Really well located, really nice hotel with a bit of a music and a bit of a rock theme, and quite nice and sort of stylish and high end and modern as well, which is really cool. So that would be my first recommendation on our little trip around London. So while we were there, we went to see a show. Now, I'm not really big into musicals and stage productions and theatre stuff. We've been to a few things. We went to see like Back to the Future the musical and. What was the other one? Groundhog Day, and a couple of other things that we've kind of seen, but not really our scene necessarily. Although I always enjoy it when we do go, and we're kind of hoping to go and see some more stuff in the near future. But yes, my wife and I are big fans of like Studio Ghibli and Japanese stuff, as I'm sure you'll know. And My Neighbor Totoro is showing at the Barbican, I think, until the end of April. Well, we'll have a look, shall we? Oh, 23rd of March. Oh, wow, so it's only on for another 5 days. And, yeah, so she very kindly bought me some excellent tickets right in the middle to go and see this at the Barbican Centre. And the Barbican Centre is quite an interesting place in its own right. I can hear that ceiling tile just about to fall on my head. And this, we'll talk about the stage show first. And the whole thing is, it's absolutely fantastic. Like, the acting in it is fantastic. The music, it's all live music. They've got the actual band there on stage performing all of the stuff live. And it's really, if you're familiar with the original story, it's really kind of faithful to the original story. All the various different scenes that you remember from the film. And it's just delightful, I think, is the word for it. It's just a really nice thing. Quite long. It was actually in two parts. There was an intermission after the first hour and a half. And then the second half was like an hour as well. And there were people, there were some quite small children who were actually really well behaved, I must say. Different class of people maybe who go to the theatre. But it was really good. Just the staging of it. I see there's, I was just very quickly watching the trailer here, and I see there's a couple of things that they didn't show, some of the puppetry and stuff, which was really impressive. Of course, they want to save the kind of the big reveal so people actually go and see it in person, and I can highly recommend it. It's absolutely fantastic. Barbican Centre, first time I've ever been there, and quite an iconic London venue in itself. It's the home of the London Symphony Orchestra and the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and also the home of the Royal Shakespeare Company, apparently. Like I say, never been there before myself. This big 1980s brutalist construction, lots of concrete, and actually it's quite nice. It's got a lot of character, and it's not the kind of building that I'd really explored before. It's huge, and very interesting to check out, as well as of course the actual shows that they have on there. So yeah, My Neighbour Totoro, absolutely fantastic, a really good production, and really enjoyed it. And it has kind of spurred us on to want to go and see some other things as well, some other shows in London. So I'll have to keep you posted on those. And then just a little nod to the evening's activities after this, because I think this is quite interesting. We went straight from there to a place called Lena Stores in Soho. Now, this is an Italian deli. They've got all of your pasta and your meats and your cheeses and stuff hanging up. And you go in there, and there are actual like people in there buying the stuff. It's an actual proper a proper deli, as you might expect. But if you make a booking, you can actually go to their underground bar, like a speakeasy type cocktail bar, which we actually kind of struggled to find the place because we got a taxi to the place and stepped out, and we were like, well, there's just like a deli here. This isn't right. Surely the bar's somewhere else. And then we actually went in, and someone kind of came up to us. Evidently, they get a lot of very confused people showing up at their door, and kind of ushered us through this little doorway and down these stairs. And you've got like a full blown cocktail bar downstairs, which is really cool. I mean, we've been to stuff like this before. Catherine's a really big fan of your kind of speakeasy type stuff, and it's also not the first one that we went to over the weekend, but not one that I'd heard of, and interesting experience. Good atmosphere in there, very lively, lots of people, very loud, if you're into that kind of thing. Good cocktails. That's kind of the main thing, isn't it? And then after that, for dinner, we went just around the corner to a place called Sticks and Sushi. Again, not my first time there, but really good kind of sushi chain based in London. And I can highly recommend them if you are ever in the city. They do some excellent sushi. But just thought I would give a bit of a shout out to those two evening activities after we'd been to the theatre, and another two things that I can definitely recommend. And of course, I will of course put links to all the stuff that I talk about down in the description if you are looking for some inspiration. So onwards with the big London review, and of course the second day was my actual birthday. So let's talk about all the stuff that I did on my birthday. But first, let's talk about the people who actually joined me, which was really nice. Really nice surprise to have some friends show up on the second day. My good friend Phil, it turned out he was actually in town because he'd been to see Totoro the night before. We saw like the daytime showing, the matinee, and he'd actually been in the evening, and of course wasn't able to say anything to me about it at all because the whole thing was a big surprise. And he didn't want to spoil the surprise, but maybe it would have been nice to have known that he was in town the night before so he could have joined us for sushi and stuff. But really cool to have him join us for the last few days. And of course, my good friends Sam and Rachel. We all checked into the Cumberland Hotel once more, and it was all really cool to have everyone there for my actual birthday, for my 40th. So, what did we do? Well, we did a lot of drinking, I should probably say. So, first up, we went to Canary Wharf, which isn't really known as a tourist destination. It's kind of the financial heart of London. It's kind of best known for being home to financial institutions like HSBC and JP Morgan and some of these big banking corporations. And it's not really a place I'd been to before, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. And I knew there were a lot of quite fancy restaurants and stuff around there, because obviously there's a huge amount of people that work there, huge amount of money sloshing around, so some quite fancy upmarket things to do. Thankfully, we didn't go to a place that cost thousands, because that would have been a bit silly. But we did go to this place, Six by Nico, which I can highly recommend, and I've just discovered, poking around their website, that they're actually a national chain. So they're in Aberdeen, Birmingham, Belfast, Cardiff, Dublin, Edinburgh, Glasgow, yada yada. And they do they basically rotate their menu every few weeks and do a different region or a different part of the world. And they're currently doing Vietnamese, which is what we had. Really, really good. So there was a set menu. It's a six-course set menu. All really good stuff. Of course, you have to have the wines with the set menu. It's only the right thing to do on your birthday, isn't it? And just enjoyed it a lot. Just really kind of nice restaurant. Really good Vietnamese food. Of course, we went to Vietnam 10 years ago this year. So always a big fan of any kind of Asian Vietnamese type stuff. Really good. And then the place we went after this was literally just around the corner, and it's a place called Fair Game. Good play on words there. And it's all like fairground games. So you've got like, shooting at targets and whack-a-mole and throwing basketballs into hoops and There's like, I think there's like eight or so of these big fairground games that you could play. Really cool thing being that they were all basically five players simultaneously, and of course there were five of us there as a group. I can highly, highly recommend this. It was loads of fun. They've got two big bars, one at either end, very much encouraging people to, get drunk and throw things around. And it's all based on a booking system, so you get a time slot, so it's not overcrowded when you're in there. You don't have to queue very long for anything. And they've got this really clever RFID scoring system, so you get like a wristband and you sign up on the website or through their app, and you get a leaderboard for your group, which of course I won because, I'm the best. And maybe they let me win because it was my birthday. But yeah, really good food. They've got street food stalls there, burgers and pizzas and tacos and nachos and all of that. And just lots of sort of really well designed and well thought out games. You get a couple of rounds on each one, so you can kind of get your eye in on the first one, and then try and beat your friends. And yeah, just something completely different and something completely unexpected, I think, for that part of London. Like I say, it's not really a touristy area, but really busy, really loud, lots of fun, and enjoyed that a lot. I definitely recommend that one. And then from there, we decided we were heading back to the hotel, and we decided to go check out one of our favourite places, which is a wine shop called Hedonism Wines. And I wasn't sure whether to mention this, but let's talk about it. So they're based in Mayfair, and you would think that would mean that they would be very expensive. Now, actually, they're not. They do kind of a really big range of stuff, ranging from, £5-10 a bottle all the way up to, I mean, you walk around in the shop and they've got bottles in there that are like £10,000-20,000 for a bottle of wine. They've got some sections that you have to actually ask to be let into, and they will only let you in there supervised. Haven't been into those, so I'm not quite sure what they've got stashed away in there, but I can only imagine. So really interesting place just to go and have a nose around if you like your wine. But they have these enigmatic machines. I have to see if I can find the pictures. Let me just have a look. There we go. So they've got these enigmatic machines, and basically you top a card up and you can go and taste wine. So it's like a big wine tasting. Help yourself. The staff are all, kind of milling around, and they're quite happy to talk to you about stuff. That all of the stuff that's in there are kind of their own personal picks. And it means that if you want to know, if you want to know what one of those £2,000 or £5,000 bottles of wine tastes like, but you don't want to buy a £5,000 bottle of wine, you can spend £10-15. I appreciate it is a lot of money, but then it was a special birthday, and you can have a small taste of it, which is quite interesting. It's not something that you as plebs generally get to experience. So I really like it there, one of my favourite places. We've been to a few organised tastings there. They had Roebuck there, which was they're an English wine producer, doing a tasting. Got talking to the very nice man, and obviously told me it was my birthday, and he gave us some extra glasses afterwards, which was very nice of him. But so that was kind of on the wander back to the hotel. And then we went out again in the evening to a place called the Italian Greyhound, which was it's a restaurant just around the corner from the hotel, and also can highly recommend it. So, I will link to all of that. Italian food, nothing too particularly complicated or fancy, but high quality stuff and good company and all of that. And an excellent way to spend my 40th birthday. So onwards and upwards with our third and final full day in London. I hope you're picking up some good recommendations for stuff to do in our wonderful capital city, or maybe you're just enjoying listening to me raving about how good the weekend was. Either way, it's good that you're still with me. But so we had two more friends come and join us on the Saturday, and my good friends Holly and Andy. Really nice to see them. They don't get out much because they've got small children. But they had all sorts of issues with childminders and stuff, but did manage to get something together and actually come down and see us, which was really, really nice, really good to see them. And I was told that I had to wear 1940s attire for this one. Now, I don't actually have any photos of myself in my Mr. Toad Wind in the Willows waistcoat. And I know you find that hard to believe, and you probably think that I'm trying to hide it from you out of embarrassment or something, but trust me, some of the personal stuff that I've shared on here, I hope you... I hope you realise that that isn't the case. But so I knew that it was going to be 1940s themed, but didn't really know much more about it than that. And yeah, we ended up at a place called Cahoots. Now, we've been here before. I've actually been here before with my wife. A wonderful place. I'm actually on their mailing list, and they keep emailing me constantly and reminding me of how good it is. A bit of an unusual one for me, but when we went previously, we just went for cocktails, and it's in a place called Kingly Court in Carnaby, so just off Carnaby Street, which is a really cool part of London anyway, definitely well worth a visit. Have a little wander down Carnaby Street. And it's basically an old disused London Underground station and ticket hall. We were actually in the Underground station part, and they've got like a carriage that you can sit in. And it's just really cool, you know. It's all like 1940s kind of theme, wartime theme. Of course, it was an air raid shelter during the war, and they've kind of got part of it set up to replicate that. So they've got like the bunk beds and stuff, which is the area that we were sat in. And it's just really well done and just really nice. And you know, some really, really nice cocktails and stuff as well. But what I wasn't expecting was that they actually had some entertainment on this weekend, which I hadn't seen before. And they had what they call their black market knees up and quiz, essentially. So, you know, you basically sit around in costume and drink cocktails and do this quiz, which covers stuff from like classic movies to, you know, the singing like modern songs in 1940s style and trying to work out what they are. Stuff like that. It was loads of fun. I was teamed up with my friend Andy, and we came last, dead last, out of literally everyone there. We got 8 points out of like 30. we did win some rather disgusting shots for our troubles. Not quite sure what they were, but it was great fun. I got dragged up and forced to act out a scene with someone else whose birthday it also was. But hey, you know, I'm a natural showman, so of course took it all in my stride. And yeah, so that was really good. Highly recommend that. It's a good place anyway, you know, so it's quite a fun place to go and visit. And, you know, it's quite a fun place to just go and have a look around and just see, an old original disused underground station. It's not something you see every day, is it? So yeah, I thought it was a really nice time. Of course, Phil went all out with the hat and the things, the braces and everything, looking a bit like Dick Tracy or something. Always above and beyond with Phil. And we went round the corner to a place called Kintan, which was an authentic Japanese barbecue. Authentic Japanese barbecue. If you're familiar with the concept, you all sit around the table, you all have a grill thing in the middle, and they bring out plates and plates of meat and vegetables and things, and you slap them on the grill, and it just keeps coming, and it keeps coming forever. It just keeps coming, and it don't stop coming. And so that was really good. Definitely recommend that if there's a big group of you and you want to sit and fry your own meat for a couple of hours and drink lots of Asahi, then can definitely highly recommend that. Of course, we'll link to it as with everything else. And yeah, that was that. And immediately after that, we'd been telling my friend Andy all about hedonism where we'd been the day before. Not the first time we'd told him about it either, so he demanded that we take him there, which, to be fair, I wasn't going to complain about, and yes, we availed ourselves of the enigmatic wine-tasting machine once more. And that was pretty much the end of the evening. Oh, certainly that's where the pictures stop anyway. We went back to the hotel. Oh, yes, I should say that Rachel made this really nice cake topper. A legend since 1984. I've given away my date of birth and everything, of course, on these rambles. And if you keep listening for long enough, I'll probably give you my mother's maiden name and all my other personally identifying information as well. So maybe there'll be a quiz, or maybe you can steal my identity at the end. But that was quite a tiring and long day again. But good day spent with friends in London. And then on to the final morning, and then it's home time. So just another couple of things. And something really, really interesting and weird on the last day. So our last day in London and heading over towards Covent Garden, actually, for something very weird and very peculiar and very oddly British, which I think if you're a fan of my kind of stuff, you might appreciate, although it's much cleverer than anything that I do. But if you saw my video last year about the Musée Mécanique in San Francisco, It's this big museum that's full of mechanical arcade games, penny arcade machines, slot penny pusher machines and arcade games, pinball games, musical things that you put money in and they play, and all these kind of weird and wonderful contraptions. And I just love a good contraption, and I'm sure you're very much the same. And if you're in London and you're in the Covent Garden area-ish, then this is definitely well worth checking out. So this is the Novelty Automation Museum, which I'd actually heard of, and it's something that's been on my list for quite a while. I think this has been around since like 2002. And it's this guy, Tim Hunkin is the name of the guy, and he builds all of these weird games. A lot of them have... So they're very mechanical, they're very hands-on, they're very kind of cobbled together, I guess. Wallace and Gromit style, I guess. But they also have, a lot of them kind of have quite clever sort of satirical messages behind them and stuff. And they're a lot of fun to play as well, of course, which is the very important thing. But yeah, really peculiar. I particularly enjoyed this one, the personal nuclear reactor, where you have to try and get the fuel rods into the nuclear reactor. So yeah, that was kind of fun. And there's like a money laundering one and some other weird stuff. Don't want to spoil it too much, but it's a good it's a good hour or so. It's all token operated, so you go in and you buy a bucket full of tokens, and of course the token dispenser is also a weird contraption. Yeah, like I say, there's this Pong exercise bike powered Pong machine, which is loads of fun. There's a thing that's like a satirical take on Amazon, working in Amazon Fulfillment Center, where you kind of have to run around like a maniac trying to pick people's orders, and you get fired at the end of it. And, it's just a fun little place. And it's this tiny little venue, little shop. It was full of people when we went, but all very good natured and quite good fun. And yeah, it's just brilliant. It really is just a lot of fun and very kind of twee and very very amusing in that kind of British way. Lots of really good kind of satirical posters around the place as well. So definitely recommend that. And like I say, the games were a lot of fun to play as well. And then we went around the corner to a place called Eat Tokyo, which I hadn't heard of. Lots of Japanese and kind of Asian-inspired food this weekend, as you've probably seen. This place was literally around the corner, completely unplanned. We just kind of walked past it and thought, yeah, let's get some lunch. And yeah, it turns out this is actually a chain. They're all over the place. They do actually have some restaurants in Tokyo itself as well. And yeah, I can highly recommend it. Had the giant sushi party boat and just a great way to round out a weekend, really. And so, yeah, that was pretty much the weekend. One person that I do want to give a very big shout out to is a guy called Imran, who was our Uber driver, because we got to the end of the day, went back to the hotel, and we thought, maybe time to sort of head home now. And we checked the train times, and literally everything was either delayed or cancelled. Everything running out of Euston was completely messed up, and it wasn't looking like there were going to be any trains for the foreseeable future. So yeah, we decided to get an Uber all the way back from London because we just didn't have any other choice, really. We tried to get a different line coming out of St Pancras to up to Leicester or other kind of local station. That was even worse. Everything was actually cancelled out of there. So no idea what was going on with the trains. But Imran, the Uber driver, very, very kindly drove us all the way home. A 2-hour journey, which was very cool of him. So thank you very much in his white Prius. So I hope you enjoyed that little tour around London. Some kind of interesting things to check out. As mentioned, of course, I will link all of those if you want to have a look at any of those. All really highly recommended, and a very good weekend, a very good way of kind of seeing in my 40th. So yeah, that's that. That's the end of this ramble. Of course, normal service, including video of the week, which I haven't forgotten about. We'll resume next week, but I thought I'd go over all of this stuff while it was still fresh in my mind. And yeah, if you ever want to kind of meet up with me down in London one weekend, maybe we should organise something. Maybe that would be quite cool. We could check out some weird and wonderful stuff and have a few drinks and have a jolly old time. But that's all I've got for you for now. Thank you ever so much for watching /listening /whatevering. And yeah, I'll see you again next week. Bye.